Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Why has storytelling gained so much momentum in the corporate world, even though charismatic teachers, good salesmen, and top leaders have always known the value of telling a good story?
And what does it mean when someone puts storyteller on the resume? Well, we have the teacher of storytellers with us, joining us today, so to speak.
It's not all Mother Hubbard. Dr. Edmund Chow is program leader in MA Arts, Pedagogy and Practice at LaSalle College of the Arts. This is Career 360 on Money FM, where we look at the manpower sector, also your career and lifelong learning. Thanks for joining us today, Doc.
Thank you for having me.
Doc, what's this new definition of storytelling? I think some of us might still be familiar with around the campfire.
or the oral tradition.
When we were kids and mom used to read Mother Goose, etc. So tell us this new definition of storytelling.
It's strange because these days we are really moving away from the traditional kind of oral storytelling. And recently I found a definition by a bank. On the website, they actually define storytelling as the vivid description of ideas, beliefs, personal experiences, and life lessons through stories and narratives that really evoke powerful emotions and insights. So it's moving away from the discourse that we knew of in terms of storytelling is just, you know, giving fables and legends and myths.
Fiction in general.
And giving us the kind of worldview when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm. I assume they had a chief storyteller officer, or I don't know what the titles are these days, this particular bank.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I'm sure they might. Chief storyteller.
Chief storyteller. Okay, well, why has storytelling gained momentum in the corporate world? And why has demand risen for storytellers?
I think it's because these days in the social media world, we are recognizing that individuals are becoming very influential in terms of promoting products and services and brands. So they are really changing the way companies are operating. You know, even if someone were to make a complaint about something, it really changes the narrative of the organization. So I think organizations are now realizing that they're either fighting against the public's perception of their products and services, or they have to sort of win these social media influencers and bring them on board so that they can tell the same coherent story.
Mm. Is it, though, a bit of a diluting of one's story, so to speak? I say this only because in the corporate world, there's a certain type of language that's always used. And are we saying influencers might help with making those stories more relatable? Corporates are recognizing that the story needs to be more relatable.
I think because, yes, definitely, because the social influencers are giving us the humanizing the experience, right? So if, for example, if you remember, I think 3 years ago, we had the Chewbacca mom the video went viral because she was wearing the Chewbacca mask over her head, and she was just laughing and talking about how that was a birthday gift for her. Yeah. And that really soared in terms of the product at Kohl's store, and the whole mask just went off the shelves for all the different places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they do affect sales and retention as well.
Mm. What about other parts of the corporate world? Beyond, say, trying to sell your product, how else has storytelling extended into those areas?
Depending on what your outcomes are, so some leaders use storytelling in the speeches. So it's really a way to envision the future for the company, you know, to sort of shape your narrative and imagine possibilities for the team so that you can galvanize them towards certain social action or action in general, strategy.
Mm. Okay.
How different might it be? I'll get Bernd to ask you that in a bit. Sorry. Beyond, say, if it's in the internal boardroom, you're saying, right, I would imagine the numbers would galvanize you enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're in trouble, come on, everybody, let's all get behind me and we will try and tackle this problem and get our numbers up. How else do you need to spin it?
Interestingly, in the recent Harvard Business Review article, they said that data don't tell stories. You need people to tell stories to interpret the data. So if you are in a boardroom with a lot of numbers that are dropping and dipping, and you want to galvanize the entire team towards getting, you know, some tangible results, you need to be able to sort of inspire them through metaphors and symbols.
Despite the bad results, so to speak.
Yeah, I think it's recognizing that, because stories allow us to feel. And once we feel a certain emotion in that let's say we're in a negative space and the company's not doing very well. So we are all recognizing that we're in a in an obstacle, in the mire, you know, in a quicksand. So if we use these metaphors, then we are able to find strategies out of this quicksand, for example.
In the cesspool. Okay.
Okay. How different is corporate storytelling? I mean, from the storytelling that we're all very familiar with from young. You know?
Does it have to be, CEO Mr. Bernard Lim will stand up and suddenly go, once upon a time, folks? Surely not.
Actually, it works. If in a corporate setting, if a leader is able to tell that story in a very fictional, once upon a time kind of a frame, it actually creates that space for us to understand where the company comes from. So in the storytelling festival that I was involved in and I facilitated a workshop, I taught them to use a six-sentence structure to actually frame the company's origins so that in a six-sentence structure, you are able to succinctly tell the story of your company.
I'm getting flashbacks of examinations, you know, when teachers used to tell us you must have an introduction and then your thesis statement and then your...
and not more than 200 words.
Something. Oh, dear.
But now it's just six sentences. So it's
easier. What do you mean? The shorter it is, the more succinct it has to be. It becomes more challenging, I think. Well, we'll get Dr. Chow to explain more. Dr. Edmund Chow is program leader in MA Arts Pedagogy and Practice at LaSalle College of the Arts. We are talking about storytelling or the business of storytelling. He recently held a talk on storytelling and leadership.
Well, Dr. Edmund, what skills one is expected to have when they put storyteller on their resume? And how different are they from skills of a spin doctor or even a speech writer?
I haven't come across a storyteller as a description in the resume, unless you are a real professional storyteller going into storytelling events, you know. But to put yourself out there as a storyteller, but you're not really giving that kind of storytelling perspective, I think would give the HR hiring team a misinterpretation of what you really do. Because if you're really talking about just strategically positioning your company narrative, I probably won't think of it as a storyteller.
So you can't put it down even in your resume as a skill? Say a comms specialist who's applying for another job would not put their storytelling skills.
Probably not as a profile, but in terms of the job description or the outcomes that you've done in terms of, you know, you use storytelling as a way to strategize or produce certain results in terms of company narratives. Yeah.
Let's talk about then the storytelling skill.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
What does
Remember, we were kids, right? We'd stand on stage and once upon a time, not those kind of archaic gestures or the need to sort of act out the story you're trying to tell.
I think good storytellers need to be able to use good language effectively, linguistics, rhetorical devices in terms of, say, parallelism, metaphors, symbols, the use of sounds.
Doc, how can the person who is not a literature student, I'm familiar because I am a literature student, the alliteration and motives and themes perhaps, but for one who has not studied sort of stories of the past in this manner, not gotten an A in practical criticism, thank you very much, may have a challenge.
That is a challenge.
Yeah.
But I think we need to be attuned to the way words paint pictures for us because it's so vivid. So if leaders are able to use words carefully, then we are also able to create a world of imagination. But that's just the linguistics part, but there's also the performance part of it. Because once you're up there speaking, you are able to sort of engage your audience, you know, get them into your story and work with them. But I think very different from, say, a theatre maker or a performer, a storyteller really engages you and interacts with the audience.
Right.
Okay. So the story almost changes as you go along because maybe the audience gives you a different kind of a vibe during that storytelling moment.
So obviously those kinds of skills would be more learnable versus innate.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely, yeah.
So how can one assess if they're effective storytellers?
If to film yourself telling the story, Bernard, once upon a time.
I think if it touches you in a very heartfelt way, it reaches your core and you are moved to feeling something.
You, the person who wrote it? You, the person
Both.
Who's delivering it?
Oh, okay. Because if you are good in crafting that story and you know how to use these, like we talked about the linguistic cues and all, and then you can sort of pull them in, even with the silence or with a pause and you know, just the intonation as well, just getting them to feel a little something, then you are going, they're going to go with you on that journey. Mm. Yeah. So I think that's the effective storytelling skills, I would say.
Let's talk about storytelling tying into leadership, which was the topic that you talked about recently at the Storyfest that you mentioned earlier. How can leaders use this? So we talked about how if they want to galvanize their people in a time of not so great performance, that's one way. How else can they use storytelling?
During the Storyfest, I talked about how the leaders should be able to look at themselves on the hero's journey. So Joseph Campbell talked about the hero's journey and how most stories, most films we know have the same template. Person leaving the space, leaving your comfort of the home, and then sees a mentor and then goes out to combat or fight the monsters. Mm-hmm. So a leader should be able to find his or her own journey throughout his career or her career to find these mentors and to also identify some of these monsters that they needed to defeat. Mm-hmm. Because once we are able to reflect on those difficult moments, I'm able to now share with my teams on what I did during that time to overcome something similar to what you're going through right now. Mm-hmm. It may not be similar or identical, but the fact that I'm now personalizing my own personal journey, sharing with the team, it makes it feel a lot more real and the leader is also more accessible now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you become the heroes or the mentor for someone else's hero's journey.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. It's always that relating.
That's right.
That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you may not be a business leader yourself,
right,
but any sort of struggle anyone would be able to relate to. Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so your talk was overwhelmingly popular.
Thank you.
Are you seeing storytelling gaining prominence in Singapore's corporate world now?
I would like to think so, because we have, for example, now doing more, applied storytelling kind of a movement, I would say. You know, I think we have now moved into medicine, so there is such a thing as narrative medicine. So I will also be working together with NUH and an NUS professor to look at how we can bring storytelling and role-playing back into the medicinal world, medical world, basically, in terms of medical education. So there are a lot of...
Oh, so to be used for instruction.
That's right.
Okay.
So there are a lot of pedagogical implications of storytelling in itself. So it's not just about inspiration and setting a vision, but the fact that now you're opening up the roles in the story of how you can relate to patients or patient stories, you know, how we can relate. When we listen to patients talking about their own symptoms, we're not just ticking the boxes and saying, okay, these are the symptoms, how many times you need to get this medication, etc.
Yeah.
But we are really listening to the heartfelt struggles that the patient is going through right now. So that is one particular way that is moving into. I think we are also moving into a lot of narrative therapies. I think there is also a narrative mediation in law and litigation.
Oh.
So I'm not familiar with that, but at the in the course that I teach at LaSalle, we also do narrative research. So that is another way of looking at the different stories within an organization or within a team to identify the different anecdotes and the life force that inform the stories. So it's almost like an ethnography.
It sounds good, because I think some of these aspects of life, so to speak, be it medicine or say law, there's a lot of jargon I think the layperson doesn't understand.
Don't really understand.
They get lost in it. So if it can be told story version, better relatable.
Yeah,
for sure. Dr. Edmund Chow is program leader in MA Arts Pedagogy and Practice at LaSalle College of the Arts. Doc, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Cheers.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.